It's good to see you all. And we thank God for this wonderful weather that we're having. And now it's a bit cooler, which is a bit better sometimes. So I just welcome everybody this morning. And a warm welcome to Neil for being with us this morning. And we pray that God will bless him as he's prepared to bring God's word to us today. And I don't know whether there's any notices. All I've got is Tekora. Fundraising social evening is on the 6th of June, 6 p.m. till 9 at Oasis. And the next Messy Church is on Saturday, the 20th of June, 10:30 till 12 noon. If anybody's got any more, then now's the time to do come and share. So we'll just say a short prayer. And this morning, it will be straightforward, hopefully. So we'll just have the songs and prayer times and and a bit of an open prayer time. But, you know, that's open to anybody that wants to pray. And a reflection and, and I think the Sunday school are going out this morning. So, and the collection. So feel free to let the bags pass because a lot of us do it electronically. So don't feel that you have to give. And then we have a children's collection as well for the children overseas to help them have a better life. And they're in the little pots. So I'll just come before God now. Lord, Heavenly Father, we just thank you that we can gather in your name, in this school. We thank you, Lord, for one another. And we thank you, Lord, that you are at the centre. You are the head, Lord, of this church, family, and this place. And, Lord, we just pray, Father, help us to live this day to the full, being true to you in every way. Jesus, help us to give ourselves away to others, being kind to everyone we meet. Spirit, help us to love the lost, proclaiming Christ in all we do and say. Amen. So we're just going to sing our first song, which is Our King Victorious.
Hallelujah to our God, all glory and the power. His name a shout of praise. Hallelujah to our God, oh glory of the power belong to you. King of victory, hallelujah to our God,
oh glory of the power belong to you.
King of victory. At his name a shout of praise. Hallelujah to our God, all the glory and the power belong to you. King of victory. Hallelujah to our God, all the glory and the power belong to you. King of victory.
I'm just going to sing a solo, and and then after that, I just want a short sort of lines of praise of thanks, and what God's done, and feel free to just do one lines just to thank God and praise God for who He is and how good He is. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise, and it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. Faith can move the mountains, let the mountains move. We come with expectation, waiting here for you. Waiting here for you. You're the Lord of all creation. Still you know my heart, the author of salvation. You loved us from the start. Waiting here for you, with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. You're everything you promised, your faithfulness is true. And we're desperate for your presence. All we need is you. Waiting here for you with our hands lifted high in praise. And it's you we adore, singing hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So come, Holy Spirit, to my mind. I receive your comfort. Come, Holy Spirit, to my heart. I receive your peace. Come, Holy Spirit, to my soul. I receive the Father's love for me. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that Lord, you are our comforter, you are our peace, and your love, Lord, goes on and forever. And so, Lord, we just come this morning and bring our thanks to you, Lord, and our praise. And we welcome you here, Lord. We welcome your Holy Spirit, Lord, into this service this morning. And Lord, as we just come before you, we know, Lord, that you will be here. And Lord, you don't need being invited, you just come. So come, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. 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 Thank you, Lord, that you listen to our prayers, those spoken and those, Lord, unsaid. And so we thank you, Jesus. Amen. So we're just going to sing now. And if you feel like standing or sitting, that's fine. Just feel free in God's presence. In the name of the Father and of the Son.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, glory come. We're gathered together to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to call on our grace.
Sing that again.
In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together, Lord, to lift up your name, to call on our Savior, to call on your grace. In the joyful sound of our offering, as your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you. And the world shall see that, oh God's grace, oh God's grace, there is hope in your name.
In the name of the Father,
in the name of in the name of the Spirit, Lord, we come. We're gathered together, Lord, to lift up your name, to call on your Savior, to call on your grace.
Joyful sound,
joyful sound, the hour of the rain, as your saints bow down, as your people sing, we will rise with you. Oh,
As I was thinking about this Sunday, and obviously after Pentecost and the Holy Spirit, it still goes on throughout the year, and I found this in one of my old books, Streams of the Desert, and I'd like to share this with you. So after 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to Moses in the desert. Then the Lord said to him, "Now come, I will send you back to Egypt." And that was Acts 7:30. Often the Lord calls us aside from our work for a season and asks us to be still and learn before we go out again to minister. And the hours spent waiting are not lost time. An ancient knight once realized, as he was fleeing from his enemies, that his horse needed a shoe replaced. The prudent course of action seemed to be to hurry on without delay. Yet higher wisdom told him to stop for a few minutes as the blacksmiths along the road. Although he heard the galloping hooves of the enemy's horses close behind, he waited until his stead was reshod before continuing his escape. Just as the enemy appeared, only 100 yards away, he jumped into the saddle and dashed away with the swiftness of the wind. Then he knew his stopping had actually hastened his escape. Quite often God will ask us to wait before we go. We may fully recover from our last missions before entering the next stage of our journey and work. Waiting, yes, patiently waiting, till next steps made plan will be to hear with the inner hearing the voice that will call for me. Waiting, yes, hopefully waiting, with hope that need not grow dim. The Master is pledged to guide me, and my eyes are unto him. Waiting, expectantly waiting, perhaps it may be today, the Master will quickly open the gate to my future way. Waiting, yes, waiting, still waiting, I know, though I've waited long, that while he withholds his purpose, his waiting cannot be wrong. Waiting, yes, waiting, still waiting, the Master will not be late. Still, since he knows that I am waiting for him to unlock the gate. Amen. And sometimes we are waiting for whatever circumstance it is, whatever thing we are waiting for. And I just thought about our church fellowship, waiting for the future to see what that may bring, to see what God wants us to do, where he wants us to be, and what minister he will feel that's right for our church. And so sometimes we want things now, but sometimes God's timing is the best, and we do have to wait, unfortunately, which some of us don't want to do. So we're just going to now sing. So we're going to take the collection in the second song. So we're just going to sing, "All over the earth you reign on high, and blessed be the name of the Lord." And there's actions to Strong Tower. So I don't know whether Andrew and the children want to do it. But we'll try and do it at the front.
You reign in me. be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Most High.
We're just going to, I think the Sunday school, yes. The Sunday school going out. I just pray, Lord, for our children, Lord, and we just Pray, Lord, that they will learn of you this morning. Lord, more about you. Amen. Okay, so we're just going to come to a short time of prayer. Into your hands I commit again all I am for you, Lord. You hold my world in the palm of your hands, and I am yours forever. Jesus, I believe in you. Jesus, I belong to you. You're the reason that I live with all I am. I walk with you wherever you will go. Through tears and joy, I'll trust in you. And I will live in all of my ways and all of your promises forever. Amen. So, Lord, as we come before you this morning, Lord, we just thank you, Lord, that you come into our hearts time and time again. Lord, you are a big, big God. And yet, Lord, you come to us and you fit in our hearts, Lord. Lord, so we just thank you that you are Lord Almighty God, our Saviour, our Redeemer. Praise you, Jesus. We love you. We adore you. And Lord, as we come now to just bring before you our concerns and our church family, we just know, Lord, that you will hear our prayers, and Lord, that you can heal, you can save, you can wash us white as snow, and that, Lord, your nail-pierced hands are all we need, Lord, to believe that you are, in fact, Lord, the risen God. So, Lord, we just thank you. And so, Lord, this morning we just give praise and thanks, Lord, for Alan, Joe's husband, and the scans, Lord, that revealed nothing serious. Lord, we know that, Lord, our prayers, Lord, have been with Joanne and Alan and the family. And, Lord, it is just a comfort, Lord, to know that our fellowship do pray for each other, that we love one another. And we pray, Lord, for Lou Farry, who's struggling with pain at the moment. And all those, Lord, that have pain know that feeling. And, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that you will ease that pain, that you will take it away, that, Lord, her leg will get better soon. And, Lord, also, Lord, as she's in hospital, that you will be her comfort. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will be with her as she, after a knee surgery, Lord. And, Lord, Lou has gone through so much, Lord, over the quite a long period, Lord, of months, and we just remember her now. And may she feel, Lord, that we are praying, that she will have that sense, Lord, of prayers. Amen. And Lord, we just pray for Dave, Lord, and Sandra and the family. And Lord, Dave's dad is struggling, Lord. And also his mum, Lord, who also, Lord, struggles. Lord, I just bring them before you. Lord, it's not easy, Lord, but Lord, you give us that strength. You give us that comfort and peace about things. And Lord, they are struggling, Lord, and Lord, they're visiting, Lord, in hospital for his dad. Lord, that you will just fill them up, Lord. Fill them up to overflowing, I pray. Amen. And Lord, we just pray for Daphne, Lord, as she waits hospital appointments and talk through surgery process they plan to give her. And Lord, she's been struggling a long time too. And Lord, we know, Lord, that your timing is perfect. And we just pray for that, Lord, for Daphne, Lord, that, Lord, you will go with her. Amen. And we pray for Sue Gabriel's son's brother, Bruce. Appropriate treatment for him, Lord. And we pray for Sue and the family, Lord, as they worry, Lord, at this time. So I just bring Sue and Bernie and Faye and the family before you. And Lord, all the ones as well, Lord. There's so many of us, Lord, that have asked concerns and health issues. And I just bring each one before you, Lord. We just take a minute to just remember the ones that maybe we haven't said. And Lord, we pray for our world, Lord, our nation at the moment. Lord, we find it hard to pray because there's so much, Lord, going on that we don't understand. And especially, Lord, as you get older, you just, you know, you wonder what's happening. But we pray for war and the drones around the Middle East and the vulnerable and the innocent families. May fighting cease. And also, all parts of the world, so much hate and culture issues and fighting, Lord, seems to be getting rife. And Lord, we just pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, that Lord, you will come into this situation, that you will heal our nation, Lord, that there will be a turning. And I just pray for Trump, Lord, that he will see something of you, see the light, Lord. This what's happening is not of you. But Lord, we know that even in the Bible, Lord, there was wars and fighting. And Lord, we have to go through this sometimes. But Lord, I just pray in Jesus' name for peace. Amen. So we're just going to have a reading, Neil is going to bring to us. And then just before I pray for Neil, we'll just sing Abba Father straight after. Thank you, Vera.
The reading is Romans 8, 12 to 17. Romans 8, 12 to 17. Therefore, brothers and sisters, we have an obligation, but it is not to the flesh to live according to it. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. The Spirit you received does not make you slaves so that you live in fear again. Rather, the Spirit you received brought about your adoption to sonship. And by him we cry, Abba Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings, in order that we may also share in his glory. Amen.
Abba Father,
to come up now and I'll pray. Lord, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for Neil. I thank you for him this morning. And I thank you, Lord, for all the work that he's put in, Lord, to help help us move forward, Lord, with this venture. And I just pray for him now, Lord, that what you've given him, Lord, what he's prepared, Lord, is of you, and that, Lord, it is for us as a fellowship. And, Lord, I just pray for him now. And I just thank you, Lord, that that he's got this gift, Lord, and that, Lord, he's bringing it to us. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. Thank you very much. Well, good morning, everybody. It's good to be back again. So it's good to be back again. And I don't know about you, I've enjoyed some of half term week with some days holiday in Lincolnshire. And now, so yesterday I was doing an away day with the deacons of Market Street Church in Nantwich, and this morning I'm here. So I'm now starting to go, hang on, this is the third day and this is the third place I've been, and now I'm not quite sure where I am. But for those of you who follow the church year, today is Trinity Sunday. We have concluded the Easter season. We have been reminded of who Jesus is and was as Saviour, Redeemer, and Lord. Last week was Pentecost, when we recall the Spirit being poured out on all flesh. And now, as we continue to think a little bit about the person and role of the Holy Spirit, our thoughts turn to who God is and our life in God. Hearing the word Trinity, particularly at the top of the sermon, might make your heart sink just a little. Oh no, I never really got philosophy. Maths was never my strong suit. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, one God, three persons. How does that work? But the thing is, God as Trinity isn't a puzzle. Actually, God as Trinity is the reason that we are here this morning. The Godhead is the reason the church exists. You know, God is not a theory. God is a living communion of love of Father and Son and Holy Spirit. And the Spirit's role is to pull us into that communion and not let us go. As Christians, a belief in the Trinity is not optional. It is not a theological choice just for people who are inclined that way. It is the essence of the Christian faith. Yeah, we may want God to be simple, to be manageable, to be understandable. But the God that is revealed in Scripture is revealed as Father and Son and Spirit, a God who is life, relationship, communion, movement, love, and revealed as a God who shares that life with us. It is, if you like, the Spirit opening the door, pulling out a chair and saying, take a seat, you're welcome to join us. Imagine, if you will, a family meal where you don't belong. You hover at the doorway, hoping that nobody notices. But somebody stands up, smiles, and says, we've been waiting for you. Your place is right there. Come right in. You didn't create this family. You didn't earn the seat. You are simply welcomed into the family. And that is what the Holy Spirit does in us. The Spirit welcomes us into the life of the Father and the Son. Or to put that in some more biblical language from Galatians 4, God sent him, Jesus, to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, Abba, Father. Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir. A similar theme is found in that passage from Romans. We're welcomed into the life of God as heirs. We call out, Abba, Father, and we do so because the Holy Spirit is working in us. We share in this life because God has invited us. God invited us. He does this without asking our permission. Imagine, if you will, a teenager in the church looking in the mirror and seeing only failure, grades slipping, friendships messy, confidence low. But a doctrine of the Trinity reminds us that the Father names them and us as chosen, holy, beloved. The Son, Jesus, shares his identity with us and with them. Our lives are now hidden with Christ in God. The Spirit whispers this truth into our and their hearts until it becomes real. You know, our identity in God isn't something we build. It is something we receive because this is who God is. One theologian says the Spirit personalizes Christ's life in us, which is a fancy way of saying the Holy Spirit grabs hold of us and grafts us into Jesus, whether we feel holy or whether we don't. I don't know about you, but I think it's true of me, and it's, I think, true of humanity as a whole, that left to our own devices, we gravitate towards things that are shiny, things like success and comfort and control, maybe the latest self-help fad. But the Spirit works in us, uniting us to Christ, enabling us to have this relationship with the Father. So now we don't stand before God on our own. We stand in Christ. We don't pray on our own because Christ prays in us. We don't worship on our own because the Spirit worships through us and lifts us into Christ's worship. This is in part why our identity as Christians is something that is received. It's not something that we achieve. We don't climb a spiritual ladder. You know, there are not grades of Christian, and as we work through, we climb the ladder and, you know, we get gradually more holy as we go. You know, it's none of that. We get caught in God's embrace. That is how we become part of this family of God. You know, we have become heirs. We have been adopted. God has embraced us, which is pretty good news for most of us, because if Christianity and our faith depended on our spiritual competence, the church would have closed centuries ago. If the health of a church was dependent on having a minister who was any good, you know, church history would be very different to how it has in fact turned out. As Ephesians 2 notes, this is about the work of Jesus. You know, and we benefit from that through the Spirit. He, Jesus, brought this good news of peace to us Gentiles who were far away from him, and peace to Jews who were near. Now all of us can come to the Father through the same Holy Spirit because of what Christ has done for us. So now, you Gentiles, us Gentiles, are no longer strangers and foreigners. We're citizens, along with all of God's holy people. You're members of God's family. You see, we've been caught in this embrace. You know, the Father welcomes us because of what has happened through the Son and what is happening through the Spirit. We are caught in this embrace. But the Spirit doesn't just unite individuals to Christ. The Holy Spirit is forming a community, the church, that mirrors something of the life of God. You know, the Godhead is unity without uniformity. There's a difference without division. The Father is not the Son. The Son is not the Spirit. And yet they are one. And this God is reproducing something of this pattern in the church. A lot of ink has been spilt. Let me just step away from those. A lot of ink has been spilt on quite what this pattern, you know, is like and to what degree, you know, we might reflect the Trinity. We can leave that. You can ask me about that afterwards if you want. But the Holy Spirit is working on us, you know, which means the church is not just a group of people who all think alike, who vote alike, who like the same hymns. The Spirit is at work in us, delighting in us and delighting in our diversity, because some of that diversity reflects who God is. You know, the Spirit hands out different gifts, a bit like a parent handing out musical instruments to children. You know, you take this, you take this, you take this. Now play together. You think of a choir for a moment, different voices, different ranges, different tones. On their own, they might clash, but when they breathe and when they sing together, they create harmony. The Spirit, if you like, is that breath in the church. The Spirit is building us into a community of God's people. You know, we are not a club. Clubs gather around shared interests. We are gathered around and by the Holy Spirit. Clubs fall apart when they disagree. The church hopefully discovers God in our disagreements. If you want a church where everyone is the same as you, you don't want the life of God flowing through it. You just want a mirror that reflects your life and your views. Because when the Spirit is working in us, we mirror something of who God is, you know, and the diversity that God is. As 2 Corinthians 3 puts it, "But whenever someone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. For the Lord is Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." So all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Yeah, we are being changed into this glorious image because we belong to Jesus, because the Spirit is working in us, because we are drawn to the Father. One of the key insights in all of this is that Christ is the true worshipper. He is the one who perfectly loves the Father. He is the one who perfectly obeys the Father. He is the one who perfectly prays to the Father. And the Holy Spirit lifts us into Christ's worship. This means worship isn't something that we do to impress God. Worship is something that we join in with. We join in with Christ's worship. What makes our worship beautiful is not how harmonic we are, how well rehearsed we are, how exquisitely we have chosen songs and choruses. No, we are joining in with Christ's worship, and it's that beauty that hopefully we reflect. Also, if worship depended on our enthusiasm or our attention span or our musical ability, I suspect God would have given up on Sundays a long time ago. But worship depends on Christ Jesus and the Holy Spirit working in us, pulling us into this. Yeah, it's almost like as we drag ourselves into church half awake and half enthusiastic on a good Sunday, the Spirit sort of goes, "I'll take it from here." When our mind wanders during prayer, the Spirit says, "I'll take it from here." When our singing is off key, the Spirit folds that into Christ's perfect praise. Our worship is part of being the people of God. It is communal. We're not just a group of individuals trying to grasp at God. We're people being lifted together into the Son's life before the Father. Yeah. Our worship matters because Christ's worship matters. The Spirit refuses to let us worship alone. It is because of the Holy Spirit working in us that we can declare that Jesus is Lord. It is because of the Holy Spirit working in us that we can cry, Abba, Father. Without the Holy Spirit working in us, we would not be able to do either of those things. Sure, we'd be able to speak the words, but actually we wouldn't be able, they wouldn't be the living faith that we actually have and experience. It's because of what Jesus has done that we are included in this. Yeah, imagine for a moment you're sitting in the car before work, exhausted, unsure of what to do or pray, other than maybe, Lord, help. What we don't see is the reality of what is happening. The Spirit is praying in us and for us with groans too deep for words. The Son, Jesus, is praying over us, interceding at the Father's right hand. The Father is receiving us with delight and not with disappointment. You know, when we pray, when we worship, the whole Trinity is already at work. God is carrying our prayer even when we can't. The Holy Spirit is in our worship even when we feel that we cannot worship. Because the Spirit is drawing us into Christ's life. But he's not just drawing us into Christ's life, he's also sending us out with Christ's mission. The Spirit is not just providing a spiritual comfort blanket for us who choose to turn up on a Sunday morning. Yeah, the Spirit is the wind of God, and the wind of God has a habit of pushing things. The Spirit opens us and opens the church to the world. The Father, you recall, sends the Son. The Son sends the Spirit. The Spirit sends the church. You know, if you wanted some verses for that, you know, remember at the end of Jesus, John's Gospel, you know, Jesus says, that's the Father who sent me, I sent you, reminding us that, you know, that it was the Father that sent the Son is now sending the Spirit, sending the disciples and saying, you know, receive the Holy Spirit. You know, we do not go in our own strength, but in the power of the Spirit that's already at work in the world. You know, we're going to join in with God. We are going to participate in what God is already doing. Ultimately, you see, the Trinity is not a doctrine we assent to intellectually. It's not just something that we believe. Actually, it's a life with God that we are invited into. Without the Holy Spirit working in us, the church is just a human organization, anxious, busy, fragile, probably obsessed with survival. But actually, because the Holy Spirit is at work in us, we are people being drawn to life in God. We've been drawn to the life of God. We've been sent out into the world carrying something of this divine love. The Spirit is making us what it is that we proclaim. The Spirit is the reason the church hasn't collapsed under the weight of its own incompetence. The Spirit is the reason why people keep getting baptized. The Spirit is the reason why forgiveness happens and reconciliation happens and mission happens and worship happens. And the Spirit is the reason that we are here this morning. Yeah, we are here because, if you like, these two arms of God are at work in us. What, you know, Jesus has done through his life and ministry and the cross and resurrection, and what the Spirit continues to do in our lives, drawing us into God. One of the oldest images for the Trinity is the dance. Perichoresis. The movement of love between Father, Son, and Spirit. Not something that's sentimental, but it's a picture of life, of movement, of mutuality and joy. The Spirit takes our hand and drags us into that dance. If you've ever seen me dance, it is dragging me onto the dance floor. The Spirit is drawing us into the Son's life. The Spirit is at work in us, drawing us into the Father's love. He's drawing us into the unity of the church that is in Christ. Drawing us out into the world, drawing us into the mission of God. The question isn't really, do we understand the Trinity? Answer, we don't. The question is whether we'll let the Holy Spirit work in us to pull us further into the life of God. Because God is Father, Son, and Spirit, eternally loving, giving, receiving. When the Holy Spirit comes into our life, we're not just warmed by God, we're drawn into this fellowship in God. If God was solitary, just a single person, God could make servants, but not much else. Only a triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, can make us into a family. A solitary God can give commandments. Only the triune God can draw us into communion with God and with each other. A solitary God could inspire fear, but only the triune God can generate love that overflows. Because of God as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Christian life isn't us trying to imitate God from a distance. It is us being swept up into the shared life of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is the life that we live. And we live this life because this is the God that we love, that we worship, that we follow. This is why Trinity Sunday is important, even if the church tends to ignore it. But that's a different subject. Yeah, God calls us to share life with him. The Spirit is at work in us, drawing us closer, that we might share something more of the life of God together. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song that hopefully reflects some of the things that I've said, because it's a song that's based on the Creed. I can't remember the first line, but it'll appear on the screen to help me. There we go. Our Father, everlasting, the all-creating one. This is a song that was produced by Hillsong's. It's based on the Nicene Creed. They're the you that know what's in the Nicene Creed, you know, may be able to spot the places where they've tweaked it slightly. Mostly they've tweaked it by avoiding things that they didn't think would make a good worship song. But it does enable us to declare our faith and to sing together about the God that we believe in, the God that calls us and whom we worship. Our Father, everlasting.
Our Father, everlasting, the all-creating one, God Almighty, Holy Spirit, conceiving Christ the Son, Jesus the Savior. I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit, our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. Our judge and our defender suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light, forever seated high. I believe in God the Father, I believe in Christ the Son, I believe in the Holy Spirit. believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. All I believe in the name of Jesus.
Fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:13. Amen.